If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Take off 15 discount not applicable to partner operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.
You're listening to the White Sox Talk Podcast, brought to you as always by Wintrust. Chuck Garfine here in San Diego, and the White Sox wrapped up the winter meetings without making any major moves, just the trade for Nomar Mazara. But it sounds like there's been a lot more going on behind the scenes. And here on the podcast, you're going to hear Rick Hahn explain this. And what about this Peter Gammons rumor connecting the White Sox and the Red Sox in a trade? We got that and more coming up on the White Sox Talk Podcast. Let's go.
White Sox, go, go, White Sox.
That ball hit deep, way back. Deep to left field.
Holy cow. Carlton Prince has put the White Sox ahead.
Jimenez leaves the ballpark.
You can't put it on the board. Yes.
We got a chance to do something real special.
All right, sit back, relax, and strap it down. It's time for the White Sox Talk Podcast.
All right, it is the White Sox Talk Podcast, brought to you by Wintrust. Chuck Garfine with you, and we are wrapping things up from the winter meetings. We got Ryan McGuffey and Vinny Duber here. A busy final day.
For who?
For me, a conversation with Hawk Harrelson, which you're going to be able to listen to on a podcast. What did we reveal on the podcast? Number one, he's got a brand new show. Yes. One is Walker, Texas Ranger.
Well, of course.
It's a classic.
Yeah.
He reveals on the podcast what he's watching now. He can't stop watching it.
That's because he's watched every season of Walker, Texas Ranger six times, and he's like, you know, maybe a break would be okay.
What's the show?
You have to listen to the podcast.
It's called a tease.
Oh, okay.
And, all right, ready for this? We find out what his ringtone is on his phone. And it's right up your alley, Vinny Duber.
It is. Technically, you can find it online. It's a tease. I'm going too deep. You can find it online.
Okay.
The best part is, not just on his ringtone, it's not just the ringtone. He has it on super loud, obviously, but there's like a flashing light that goes off during it, too.
All right.
It's, yeah.
Okay.
It's a thing.
Many people called him. I'm not going to tease this. I'll tell you who called. Joe West called to congratulate him. So a lot is discussed in this probably 25-minute conversation with Hawk. It'll be dropping on the podcast in a little bit. In the meantime, we got to talk about two big things that are kind of making news as we wrap things up here. Number one is the Peter Gammons rumor. Now, Peter Gammons was – actually, we taped a segment with Peter for Sports Talk Live. I think it airs
it
today.
Airs, it does air
today. It airs today. Yeah. During the conversation – Peter, this is what it's like to be Peter Gammons. He is so plugged in. We're talking about, you know, what the White Sox might do. And he says, you know, I got a text on my phone from someone a number I don't know who it is, who says that the White Sox and Red Sox are talking about a trade that would involve Andrew Vaughn, Nick Madrigal going to the Red Sox and the White Sox getting Andrew Benintendi, David Price, and money. But he hadn't confirmed it. He just said, oh, I got this. This could be from anybody. So I'm not going to report that.
He'll let you but do he it did. On the White Sox
but,
Talk
But
podcast.
He did.
But he, I'm going to wait until he reports that there's actually something true to it. What he said in the segment was, well, I don't know what this is. I just got a text.
Yeah. I know, but this morning on MLB Network.
So that's why I'm bringing it up now.
Oh, okay.
I would never have said it until.
Right.
I'm going to let Peter talk about that.
Sure.
If there's any validity to it. So Peter clearly must have looked into it.
Doubled down.
How true is it? We don't know. But let's just talk about the possibility of if both Sox make a trade like this, what would that mean and what do you think about it?
Well, so I mean, it's the idea of the White Sox trading with the Red Sox makes sense, mm-hmm. right? Because they are trying to cut money, they being Boston, are trying to cut money. They've got big contract in David Price, 3 years left, $96 million. I asked Rick Hahn this morning, mm-hmm. that financial flexibility you're always talking about, can that apply to the trade market? He said, absolutely, it can. So there's a thought that the White Sox, because of all the money they have, could be a partner for someone who's trying to cut some salary. The way you get a team to do that is by throwing in another player of value, as ESPN's Jeff Passan said the other day when he was talking about David Price, saying multiple teams had targeted the pitcher. You throw in another player of value. Well, what's a player of value? Andrew Benintendi, a good corner outfielder, 3 years left of control. That seems like a guy that would be right up a team like the White Sox's alley. So on the surface, that makes sense. That being said, Rick Hahn has also spent the week saying, we don't want to trade our top prospect for short-term gain. Now, you can debate how short-term 3 years is. Nick Madrigal seems like a guy that the White Sox would never trade, in my opinion, but this is an interesting situation.
Would I trade Nick Madrigal? Yes. Would I trade Andrew Vaughn? Yes. Would I make this trade? Absolutely not. I wouldn't make that trade at all, and I have a pretty good feeling that the White Sox won't either. There are scenarios where those trades, those players, obviously you're going to get a huge haul of return. You're trading those two guys in the same trade, you're not getting David Price in cash.
And that seems like a dead money trade.
Yeah.
So it's based, to me, that would sound like it's Andrew Benintendi for Madrigal, in my opinion. That's how I would look at it, Madrigal and Vaughn.
I don't
do it.
Blame the Reds. I mean, I understand. This is how these things go. It's like, okay, well, let's talk about the said players. All right, let's grab your last two first-round picks. And then, obviously, conversations go from there because there's no way the White Sox are trading these two players for that package.
As we try to read between the lines here, and I'm not saying this is connected, but when Rick said on Wednesday that there was a trade proposal sent to them that was a sharp turn from what they want to do in terms of this patience and this long-term goal, it was going to be more of a short-term trade, that he and Kenny had dinner to talk about it the next morning, talked about it again. It sounds like this would be that kind of trade that would lead them to be like, hey, we got to get away, talk amongst ourselves. This is what we really want to do.
And now, obviously, Rick didn't reveal too much more than they had this intriguing proposal that they were talking about. So
this would be intriguing whether you believe in it or whether you agree with it or not.
But it's kind of up to interpretation a little bit what he was referring to. I told you yesterday, I think that he was lumping it in with those talks of like tempting moves that maybe aren't the ones that they should be pursuing.
That's the perfect one.
That is that, exactly. But that's my point. Is he out here describing that exact proposal as something that maybe they shouldn't do? You know what I mean?
Yeah. The Red Sox have a few players that make sense for the White Sox. We know J.D. Martinez being one of them. There are a lot of names being brought up in these conversations.
Yes, that would make sense. For the White Sox and Red Sox are a match made in heaven this offseason. You can throw a lot of different players into it, but here are the Red Sox who have talent and money to shed. Here are the White Sox looking for talent. They've got money to spend.
I would also bring this up, too. David Price's reputation is not sterling as a clubhouse presence and as somebody who would be involved with your culture. The White Sox, to me anyway, have seemed very careful about finding guys that are going to be good fits, not just in the lineup or in the rotation, but off the field as well. And I wonder how much that would play into something.
And another curveball. I mean, the White Sox and Red Sox have been trade partners in matches in the past. Obviously, we know that they kicked this whole rebuild off with the Chris Sale trade. But now we have new management in Boston. So there's a feeling out process there in terms of new GM, new expectations, shedding payroll, prospects, all this. You have to kind of restart and re-engage with the team you're familiar with, but new people and in chairs.
It's a great point because Chaim Bloom, the new GM, he didn't draft Andrew Benintendi. Okay. He didn't sign David Price, and although he's got connections with Tampa.
Yeah.
So maybe he was a part of, I don't know how if that matches up, but he might have been around when, he clearly was around when Price was in Tampa. For Andrew Vaughn. So what Peter did say was that the Red Sox think very highly of Madrigal and Andrew Vaughn. And as I sit here, I'm literally looking right over there about 20 yards away. Yep. And 2 days ago, Marcus Semien, of all people, who finished third in MVP votes, was right there. And I went and had a conversation with him. And I just asked him, hey, what do you think about Andrew Vaughn, their fellow Cal alums? And he said about Vaughn, I wish I could hit like he can. He's a stud. So when I hear Marcus Semien saying that about Andrew Vaughn, I don't want to trade Andrew Vaughn anywhere. So hopefully it doesn't happen. We'll see what the return would potentially be. I'm not sure if this has legs. And Vinny, Rick even said, you know, these kind of deals at the winter meetings tend to blow up anyway.
Yeah.
But, I mean, clearly the White Sox have gone down the road of many things here at the winter meetings. Not only maybe this trade, but what do you talk about today at the winter meetings at the end of the Rule 5 draft?
Yeah, so earlier today, Rick had his last media session of the winter meetings, and, you know, I think the big thing that happened this week was the three top free agents out there all got gigantic contracts. First, it was Steven Strasburg going back to the Nationals, then Gerrit Cole with the Yankees, and Anthony Rendon going to the Angels. I think a lot of White Sox fans were like, what gives? Why weren't the White Sox involved? We certainly didn't hear them reported by the usual suspects who report who's chasing which free agents. We didn't hear them involved with those three guys. So I asked Rick, you know, fans see these players who would fit that category of those long-term fits that you've been talking about all week. When you guys don't end up with those players, you know, how can you clarify that kind of thing? And he pretty much said that, you know, just because he didn't hear us mention doesn't mean we didn't go after him. There might be some really good ways, and I think we have that quote.
We do. So here, let's play the answer from the question that Vinny gave to Rick Hahn.
It's part of what makes this game great. Like, and probably the guy that the fans see out there and see fits with what we're doing, and hey, they should pursue him. Maybe we did. Maybe we have extra information where it shows that that would have been a fruitless pursuit in the end, just based on the player's preference for where they want to be, league or locationally. Or perhaps it's something that we, you know, did get after and just weren't able to convert on. We obviously operate best when there's less noise around what we're doing. Certainly, you know, recently showed that on Grandal. So I don't. It would be nice for me to stand here, or maybe it would be temporarily nice or fulfilling for me to stand here and be like, yeah, we didn't go after player X because we knew for a fact this thing about how I wasn't coming here. Or, yeah, we did go after player X and we came up short. That might, like, satisfy some sort of desire to show that we were active if people didn't think we were. But I would hope after all this time that people understand our approach tends to err on the side of being aggressive, and if there's a high-quality player that seems like a fit for us, we probably went down that path to some extent, and if it didn't wind up converting, there's usually a pretty good reason why.
All right, last to unpack here from that. Number one, they like to be under the radar. Yeah. Now, last year with Machado, not under the radar. We all knew what they were going for. This time around, it sounds like they do not want to have any of that out there. And if you are to read the tea leaves there, it does sound like we don't know which of those guys they were going after, but it sounds like they were at least going down the road with one, two, three, who knows, but they were trying to get one of them.
Yeah, and I think the reasons that Rick gave might not satisfy a segment of the fan base who, you know, are just like, come on, let's just get a guy already. But I think that the reasons were good, right? I mean, he talked about maybe there's things that we know about players that they just want to go play for other teams. And we heard so much in the run-up to Gerrit Cole signing with the Yankees that maybe he wanted to play in California or the team he grew up rooting for in the Yankees. And those were the three teams, the Yankees, Angels, and Dodgers, who were reported to be the finalists for Gerrit Cole. Steven Strasburg's out there, and he goes to the Nationals, and people are running around the winter meetings saying, well, who finished second? I mean, you know, these guys could have had things narrowed down to choice destinations before the season even ended.
Or even relationships with a manager, relationships. I mean, there could be a hitting coach on a team. I want to be with that guy. I mean, there's so much that goes into it, and there's not the clear ties all the time with an Anthony Rendon and the White Sox. Or whatever it's going to be.
I understand why people are pissed. Like, it makes look. The three of us want Anthony Rendon on the White Sox right now.
Yep,
absolutely. Strasburg, absolutely. Cole, absolutely. Until there's conversion on something, people are going to be irate. I get it. Especially this week. This is a week of impatience. That's what the winter meetings are. It's a week of impatience. The big three fell, and now it's more impatience. And because the winter meetings are so much magnitude and the spotlight's always on, people are like, I need to know, like, why isn't my team? Why isn't my team? Why isn't my team? I don't know what the White Sox are going to do. Rick made it sound like there are moves coming in the coming weeks here after the Rule 5 availability. But until they convert, fans are going to be mad. I get it. And their window pushes open sooner than maybe the White Sox window. I get it. There's impatience. There's frustration. And it's been a long time. This rebuild feels like it's been longer than it has. But I
think.
Get it.
Well, I think we're in a moment of time, and what I mean by that is, if Nomar Mazara was acquired a month ago, and here at the winter meetings, the White Sox signed Yasmani Grandal, yeah. I think White Sox fans would be elated. They'd be so excited, like, here we go. But the fact that it's reversed, they already got Grandal. We come into this week with expectations of something big, and it's a trade that Sox fans are scratching their heads about. That's what they're left with as we sit here right now.
I think they'd be more excited. I'm not sure about elated. The narrative certainly would be a little bit more flipped, like, okay, they've ramped up here and they landed a premium target. But, you know, they'd still be upset about missing out on the big thing. The fact that the big three happened here, like, that's the talk of the town.
Well, and again, it sounds weird because people were so angry at how the Machado sweepstakes played out, but because the White Sox offered the contract they did to Manny Machado, I think people are wondering, where's the report saying they offered a contract to another young player who's going to get a big deal for a long term in Anthony Rendon?
Does it matter, though? Like, if it came out today that the White Sox offered 6 for $225 for Anthony Rendon, what's that going to mean? That they came up short. So who cares? They didn't get Anthony Rendon. Boom. Well, onto that. I don't care. It's not going to make me feel good if it says the White Sox had a great contract offer for their higher AAV for Anthony Rendon. If they came in... There's no coming in second.
But I think what some Sox fans want is they want to know that at least they made the smart choice and the smart decision to at least make the attempt. If they were just like, we don't need him,
and
that would be that would make me upset.
Well, and Rick said that maybe they did. You know what I mean? He's not a guy that's going to reveal the behind the scenes stuff. So him saying maybe they did is probably as close you're going to get to hearing what you want to
hear. I mean, that's what Rick's been talking about. I mean, he's sick of talking about the same thing, too. He's like, until I convert, who cares? Why talk about it?
And then the other thing is this. Before there was Twitter, before there was an internet, there'd be the winter meetings, and you wouldn't find out if something happened probably until you read the paper the next morning, and then you just went about your day. This is a nonstop, constant, revolving 24-hour, 365-day-a-year kind of always-on media pursuit. And people are just always just engaged with this. So in this time of immediacy, we want answers. And so I think that's part of this as well, that the pent-up frustration just feeds on it because you're so connected to Twitter and social media, and you want to have answers.
Can I disconnect from Twitter?
I know. That would be nice.
There's a nice looking bay over there, some water. If I leave anything in San Diego, it'd be my Twitter account.
I would rather have been covering the winter meetings back in the 70s and the 80s. You know, I'm in a suite.
Weren't you? I'm not that old.
Okay. I'm in a suite with the GMs. They're getting drunk. Yeah. So am I.
Putting on some Foghat records.
I'm falling asleep on the couch while.
Think about how easy the Benintendi trade would be at 6 a.m.
Yeah. I mean,
and Benintendi for, let me see what we got here.
I mean, Roland Hemond and George Steinbrenner are making a trade, and I'm just on the couch watching this.
You have to move.
Passing out?
Yeah. You have to make room for Nightingale because he'd be right there, too.
Yeah. That's what I want. Instead, I got to talk to you, schmoes.
That's how we feel, too, Chuck.
I think that's where things are at right now. You said there was a report that just came out.
Yeah, while we were listening to that Rick quote right there, Mark Feinsand from MLB.com reported on David Price and said that the White Sox are one of four or five teams that are in on David Price. So
I mean, the David Price thing, like, he's got 3 years left on his contract, and it's like $96 million. And he's 32, 33. I think he's 33 years old. Lefty.
They'd have to eat money. There's no doubt. No one's taking it.
Yeah, of course. A lot of money. I think it was like 40 million.
I saw Fangraphs try to equate what he would be worth on the free agent market today, and they found it challenging. He'd get a 2-year, $30 million deal. I'm not sure what if Tanner Roark got 2 for $24, I'm going to take the over on that, but 2-year deal, maybe that's likely. I don't know.
Yeah, and on Benintendi, I had always heard that they were really, really high on him the year he was drafted.
The White Sox,
and they wanted to draft him. The Red Sox were right before the White Sox picked. They got Benintendi. The White Sox got Carson Fulmer. So next time it's September and your team is out of it, just lose every game. Just lose every game because you're not going to get your guy. I mean, that I'm being sarcastic, sort of. But here we are a few years later, and they have their eyes on Benintendi. Theoretically, if we go by the text, the random text that Peter Gammons got and may have followed up on. I don't know.
Fine Sam goes a little deeper here in this price report, saying this Benintendi stuff. You know, everyone's trying to link Benintendi to price, and he has a source that said, quote, that's not going to happen. Okay. So, who knows?
This is what the winter meetings and this is what the off season is like. You just get people texting Peter Gammons, and then we are on a podcast talking about it, and this thing might spread, it might not.
And this is another thing that the White Sox don't have. Like, other teams that are, it looks like they're trying to include bad money. Like, the Padres are trying to send Will Myers, and then they'll take all of Price and maybe Jackie Bradley, too. So it's like everyone's bad money and teams that need, like, the White Sox don't have any bad money right now.
Right, this is why when you look at the landscape with the White Sox and this offseason, they can go a lot of different avenues, and I just can see a lot of teams contacting them because they do want to compete, they do want to make moves, and they've got money to spend.
Well, and what did Rick say yesterday? We've got some prospects who are really popular right now.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I mean, that could mean that they're very, very popular in the White Sox room also, and that they might not want to part with them because, I mean, listen, Nick Madrigal and Andrew Vaughn, the White Sox lost a combined 195 games to get those two guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to throw up.
Yeah. I don't want David Price and Benintendi for that, but we'll see.
That'd be pretty devastating.
Yeah. I really like Benintendi. He's coming off a subpar year,
but
not for those two.
We already discussed that.
All right. Well, I think we're going to wrap things up here from lovely San Diego. I didn't do many Anchorman references while I was here. I'm disappointed in myself.
San Diego, drink it in.
I'm drinking it in.
It always goes down smooth.
Compelling and rich.
And that is going to be a wrap for this edition of the White Sox Talk Podcast, brought to you by Wintrust, your home for White Sox checking with free ATMs nationwide. Go to the special White Sox webpage, www.wintrust.com/sox. We will try to stay classy as much as possible. Is that it? Stay classy, San Diego?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Be careful, though. Don't go much further than that.
I'm stopping right there. Thank goodness there was no teleprompter here, because who knows what I would have said?
Cap would have definitely read the question mark.
Yeah, he definitely. Go, you know what? San Diego?
Wow. Tried to warn him. Tried to stop him.
I didn't say it. You can fill in the blank. Hawk Harrelson, you the man, you the Hall of Famer. Take it away.
Thanks, our Chuck. And this edition of the White Sox Talk Podcast is over.
If you travel for work, you know to pack two suits, business and swim. You know with your Delta SkyMiles Business Amex card, buying that plane ticket for a business trip can get you closer to medallion status. You know that a meeting in Montana means visiting almost every national park.
Yellowstone? Check.
Because you're the chief excursion officer. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know business.